Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. Everything kind of went quiet here. I thought maybe I'd lost you. Good to be with you again. And last week, 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, I spoke to you about a man called Saul of Tarsus. And we looked in the book of Acts, a little bit of a history of this man. But I started off my message by asking you the question that this one young zealous Jew asked the Lord Jesus Christ, who was on resurrection ground, actually speaking from heaven down to earth. And this young zealous Jew fell to the ground under the bright light of the light of the world. And the question that Saul of Tarsus asked the Lord Jesus Christ was, Lord, what will you have me to do? And we talked about that. That was a great question. And I think it's a question that would apply to anyone. Maybe you're not a Christian yet, and you need to say to the Lord, Lord, what should I do? What do you want me to do? I'm not a Christian yet. And we know the answer to that question is pretty clear. The Lord Jesus would say, well, I want you to be saved. I came to seek and save those that are lost. My name is Jesus because I came to save my people from their sins. And so I died on a cross for you. I was buried and rose again the third day so that you could have your sins forgiven. That's what I want you to do. I want you to be saved. And that would be great. And perhaps for a believer, you might say, Lord, I've been struggling. I'm trying to figure out your will for my life. I'm not sure what you want me to do. And so I'm asking you, Lord, help me, show me, guide me, direct me to the Bible. Lord, what do you want me to do? And in the story of Saul of Tarsus, he got direction. And dear friend, you will get direction too. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And so that was a great question. And that was a couple of weeks ago. And we're moving along. I was thinking of some other questions that were asked to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a rich young ruler, and it's recorded in the gospel accounts. And he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Think about that question for a minute. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, if someone came to me and said, I'm hoping to inherit a large estate. Well, what could I do to inherit a large estate? It will get you a name in the will, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of a weird question, you know. What do you do to get an inheritance? Well, you don't generally do anything. You just kind of get it. If you happen to be in the will, that'd be great. If you didn't, you're probably still complaining about your rich somebody who didn't include you in the will. But his question wasn't about the estate. It was about eternal life. What should I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life? That's a great question. And the Lord Jesus Christ answered that question by taking his finger and putting it right on the problem, which was in his heart, and that there was something more important than eternal life. And it's a great story. It's about a man who had everything, who wanted a little bit more, but he wasn't willing to give up the everything for the little bit more he thought he could have, which was eternal life. Perhaps that's for another day. Now, many of you will remember this question. It was actually asked by a jailer sometime after midnight in a prison in Philippi. And the circumstances were quite urgent. Things were happening pretty fast. And this jailer knew that he was in trouble and he needed some answers. And so he went to this one Saul of Tarsus, who is now a Christian, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in that prison because he was preaching Christ. And this jailer fell before him that night and said, "What must I do to be saved?" That was a great question. And it's a question that we like to just immediately give the answer to that question because it's right in the scriptures. And the answer was given, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Now, let's just remember something. This is the question to be saved from my sin, saved from hell, saved from the penalty of sin that separates me from God. How would I ever be made right with God? How would I ever know peace in my heart and not war with God? How could I ever be saved? Not from prison, and not from my superiors, not from the earthquake that we just experienced in this prison, but how can my soul be saved? And the answer was, well, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so believe what? Well, believe that he came, that he died, that he rose again, that he did it for you. If that Philippian jailer, that one who was so needy and who cried out that night, was the only person on earth. Guess what? Jesus still comes. Jesus still does. Jesus still loved him and made a way for him to be forgiven. That's a great question. What must I do to be saved? But I'm going to take another question this morning. And I think you're going to like this question. I certainly liked reading it and looking at it. Now, this question is in three of the gospel accounts. It's in Matthew, and it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Matthew chapter 8. We're just thinking about some questions that were asked the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 8, you'll notice the question almost immediately. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. "And when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Then behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Now, when Jesus had entered, just first four verses. Now we go to Mark, and Mark is in chapter 1, Mark's account. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. "Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in desert places, and they came to him from every direction. And then Luke chapter 5, please. Luke's gospel and chapter 5 and verse 12. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmity. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Well, let's ask the Lord for help. Father, what a story. What a story that as we consider this story, probably all of us can relate in some ways. It's a great story of a man who was hopeless and helpless, and yet he met somebody that could help him and give him hope. And so, Father, would you, by your Spirit, take this story and apply it to every heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll here in Luke, we'll just stay in Luke. Of course, you remember the story of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, many times covering the same territory, same story, each one adding a little bit to the story. If we just read Luke here, we didn't read that the Lord had compassion, which he does. You could read that into the story. Or Luke here will add some things that both Matthew and Mark left out in their story. That's the reason we suggest that when you read the life of Christ, make sure you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they're going to go back and forth and in and out and give you great details and information to piece all of this together. Now, the question is, you say, what's the question? Well, the question is simply this: if you are willing, that's all. That's the question right there. But until we see the question in the context, it's not going to mean as much to us. And I hope by the grace of God, I can share with you the significance of that question. So here we go. One of the things that we don't know immediately is where it happened. There's no indication in Matthew or Mark. However, He does go on in Mark to Capernaum, enter into the city. So we're kind of supposing that this unnamed city in Luke's account, it happened when he was in a certain city. I wouldn't be at war with anyone that says, ah, I know, it's Capernaum. Well, that'd be okay. There must be a reason that perhaps the city is not mentioned. I wonder if the city is not mentioned because it could be any city. Ah, but it might be another reason the city is not mentioned. It might not be mentioned because, are you listening? What is a leper full of leprosy doing in the city? He's not allowed. Oh boy, I tell you, the politicians have dropped the ball. The elders of the city, the mayor of the city has somehow lost control of the city. And now we got a man full of leprosy in the city. Maybe Jesus was just being conned when he didn't mention the city in the text. Could be any city, I said. Could be Vancouver. Yes, that's right. Any needy people in Vancouver? Now's the time you go like this. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Any needy people in Pembroke, Ontario? Any needy people wherever you live? And the answer is, of course, yes, needy people everywhere. So the next thing we learn in our story is that there was a man. Behold, there was a man. Now, again, no name. We got a no-name man. That is, no name to us, but known to God. There are no nobodies in the life of the Lord Jesus. Not only would Jesus know this man, he would know this man's parents. He would know the day the man is born. He would know if he has any siblings. He would know when he contracted leprosy. He would know everything about this man. But if we could use it in sort of a general sense, the one thing I know about this man immediately as a man is that he's a sinner. The Bible declares that. All have sinned. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, all have sinned and come short. That is, you can't reach God's standard. His standard is perfection, and nobody is perfect. And so here we have a no-name man that represents the entire human race, and God knows everything about everybody. Now, next thing we know about this man is he was full of leprosy. Now, there's a lot of discussion about leprosy, of which I am not qualified to say much about it, except this. Evidently, it is terrible to look at. I mean, leprosy has a tendency to eat away at the extremities, toes, fingers, ears, nose, extremities. Now, the other two writers didn't give us this information, but Luke says he's full. Later stages. And not the kind of guy you just want to say, would you like to go for a walk this afternoon? Most people would stay away from them. We know that generally speaking, if you had leprosy and it couldn't be cleansed, that what would happen is that you would have to take up residence in a colony of people like that, a leper colony, and you're not allowed to mix in with the people of the community. That's the reason we're kind of wondering, he's in this city and this guy just seems to be kind of in the city. probably shouldn't have been in the city, but he's full of leprosy. I'm going to suggest that his body is covered with leprosy, and that by this time, probably the extremities are pretty much gone. I don't know that, but it's a very good chance it would be. So what I'm thinking here is that this guy's got like zero hope. It just, there's no way around this. There's no cure. There's no treatment. It's not like, oh, if you could get to such a doctor or something, you know, and start some treatment, then maybe. No, there's no maybes here. This is like, you're doomed. You're good as dead. You're not going to get any better. You're full of leprosy. I don't even want you to get out of my sight. I can't even stand looking at you. That's his condition. Before I move on, there's a lot of good-looking sinners. Did you know that? People with leprosy, I don't think you'd say there's a lot of good-looking lepers, generally speaking, because it distorts them and disfigures them, okay? But you see, sin is different. Sin can't be on the outside. I mean, how many of us have not seen or experienced or in some way know of a person who's had an alcohol problem? And that alcohol problem has actually affected their appearance. And I think you know what I'm talking about. You can say that's that look. That's that the results of an addiction to alcohol. Okay? But basically, sin doesn't necessarily appear on the outside. I could say with biblical accuracy that every sinner is full of sin, full of sin. They got it everywhere. They got it in their brain. They got it in their lungs. They got it in their kidneys. They got it in their heart. They got it in their life. Because the Bible says sin has permeated the human race. The problem with that is I can be a sinner full of sin, and you don't know it necessarily. I might appear as kind of a good old boy, or just a nice lady, or your neighbor next door, or, oh, I know there are cases where drug addicts or alcoholics, and you go, oh, keep your kids away from them. I understand that. But you see, that's what's so deceiving about sin. You can camouflage it. This guy could not camouflage it. He would probably be wrapped in leper's rags, okay, to keep the oozing sores from contaminating people around him, okay. And so sin is like that and not like that in some ways, but everybody's got it. Now, the next thing in our story is he saw Jesus. Oh my, he saw him. Did you know one day you're gonna see him? You're going to see, yeah, you, me, everybody, every eye. We're going to all see him. To those of us who, by the grace of God, have seen ourselves as full of sin and separated from God, you know, and sin has its consequences in life, can really take you down the garden trail to the place called hell. It really can, and just sort of lead you along until it's too late, okay? But even for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and have died and are buried, one day the dead are going to hear the voice of God. And one day every eye is going to see him. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. But in that day, there won't be any changing teams, getting saved, being forgiven, going to heaven. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, then you're sealed for eternity. This man saw Jesus. This man saw Jesus, if I could say it, through eyes by which the flesh around his eyes are being eaten away. He saw him with it with his eyes. I guess he, somebody said that's Jesus. I guess he got a glimpse of him in the crowd. I don't know exactly, but let me tell you, when he saw Jesus, he saw, are you listening, the only man in time and eternity that could help him. I mean, what a coincidence. Think about it. This man could have lived and died and never have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of all of time and all of eternity, this man sees the only man in eternity that can help him. Now, that's a miracle in itself right there. But dear friend, if you're listening here today, I want to tell you something. A miracle's already happened in your life. Because I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is available for you today. Full of sin, camouflaged sin. Everybody thinks you're good. Nobody knows the truth. In your own heart, you know things are not right. But Jesus is available to you today. He saw Jesus. Now, let's hurry along. What did he do? He fell on his face. I hope that touches your heart. It touches my heart. This man knows he's a sinner. This man knows he has leprosy. This man knows he has no rights. This man knows I shouldn't be in town. They're going to catch me. They're going to run me out of here. He knows everything is wrong, and he has a humble attitude. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say he fell on his face because he was too ashamed to look Jesus in the face. What an attitude. And now Luke tells us something else. He implored him, saying, I think one of the other gospels said he begged him. He begged him. You know, when people beg, they have no other resource. Do you know that? They've tried everything. They've run out of money. They've run out of doctors. They've run out of hope. They've run out. They're gone. Please, please. When people beg, they got no other resources. They get zero, okay? He implored him. He pleaded with him. Now notice, this is what he says. He says, if you are willing, that's the question. Now the last part of that is not a question. The first part is the question. If you're willing, you can make me clean. You see, there was no doubt that Jesus had the authority, the power, the ability to cleanse lepers, to heal the blind, to raise the dead, to the lame leap and the deaf hear and the mute speaks and on and on. If you are willing, now let me just pass that just for a second and say, you can heal me. See, the word is out. I'm not going there for time, but if we went back to chapter 4, we're going to read that in the whole region, they knew about Jesus. We're going to read that everybody that was sick on one occasion, they all came. Guess how many healed? All were healed. Okay. So, this leper has come to the conclusion, you can make me clean. That's not the problem. I got that down. The problem is, are you listening now? The problem is, do you want to? I mean, why would you do it for me? I'm done. What have we got, a week, a month left? I don't know how much time. I'm wasting away. My skin is falling off the bones. I mean, I've lost, if I had a family, they're gone. No friends. I'm sneaking around in the dark. I'm wrapped up in rags. I'm not allowed in the community. If you're willing, I don't know if you'd be willing to do it. I don't know if you care that enough, care that much. I don't know if you want to. If you want to, I know you can do it. I'm just not sure if you want to. Dear friend, listen to me. There may be some people listening to me today, and they're saying, I know Jesus died. I know John 3:16. God so loved the world. But that's the world. That's out there. That's the multitude. That's over in that other region. Everybody over there got healed. But I don't know if he wants to heal me. That's the question. Are you willing to heal me, Lord? I don't know how to say this with the impact or the force that I want you to get. Why is he on earth? Why is Jesus on earth? He left the ivory palaces to come to a world full of people who have the leprosy of sin. That's why he came. There are no nobodies with him. The answer is yes. That's the answer. The answer is I'm willing. But I want you to notice the order of events. Before Jesus said, I am willing, notice it in verse 13, he put out his hand and touched him. I don't know if you've ever been in a hospital room or been beside the road in a car accident, or if you've ever been around anybody who's been really, really hurt, bleeding, distorted, disfigured, in pain. You know, the last thing you want to do is touch people like that. That's the last thing you want to do. You go, whoa. I think it was Mark that said, moved with compassion. That's it. Moved with compassion. You know, the Mosaic law says you can't touch a guy with leprosy. You touch a guy with leprosy, you're unclean. You got to go, and there's all kind of consequences to that. You don't do that. The Lord Jesus, I think this guy is still on his knees. I think he's still ashamed to look up. I don't think he even looked at the Lord Jesus when he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. See, he's already knows he believes Jesus can do it. He just doesn't believe if he just doesn't know if Jesus wants to. And so the Lord Jesus, before he says anything, can you imagine he just reaches down, maybe touches him on the shoulder, maybe touches him on the head. I don't know, maybe touches it. I don't know where he's doing that, but he touched him. There's something about a touch. Matter of fact, I did just a quick little reference to this. 11 times in the Gospels, 11 times Jesus heals with his hand, touching, touch, 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 touch. I mean, how many of us don't remember that song? He touched me, made me whole. Dear friend, today, that's all you need. You just need the Lord to touch you. You know how to get the Lord to touch you? Tell him, you know he can forgive you. You know he died for you. You know he rose for you. You know he can do it. You know he can do it. He can change your life in a moment, in an instant. He touched him. You know what he said? I'm willing. And immediately, not tomorrow, not in an hour, not next week, not I'm going to start getting better. And I hope immediately he was cleansed. Salvation is like that. Do you believe he can do it? Do you believe he can forgive you of your sins, give you a new life, clean up the mess that you've made of it, and give you a reason to live, a hope, and help? Do you believe he wants to? Believe he's willing? Well, the scriptures say he's not willing that any should perish. He's willing for all to come, whosoever will may come. And so he says to him, I'm willing. And immediately, it's gone. It is gone. There is no trace. There is no scars. Clean flesh cleaned him up immediately. Listen to the scripture. The leprosy left. It's like it's gone. Dear friend, that's what I'm asking you to do. Just in this few seconds we got left. Wouldn't it be foolish for this leper to say, I'm not a leper. No, I don't need any help. Of course, it's stupid. Leprosy's killing him. You've got sin. Don't say, I'm not a sinner. That's a lie. You are a sinner. You know that. You've broken God's laws. You've offended God. Your lifestyle, your attitude, the way you think, your ambitions in life, you've left God out. Are you tired of that? Do you know that he can forgive you? Do you know that Christ died for the sins of the world? Do you know he's died for your sins? Do you know he wants to save you? He's willing to save you. He simply said it. That's all he had to do. You see, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the Almighty God appears in flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, says, be clean. It's interesting, you know, that is in what we call the passive voice. You know what that means? He didn't say, I'm willing, now go out and do the best you can. The subject is not acting on itself. It is being acted upon. You know what Jesus is saying here? Allow yourself to be clean. I'm willing. Be clean now. I'm doing this for you. You just have to receive it now. Just accept it. Here we go. You ready? I'm willing. Don't fight it. Don't doubt it. Just accept it. Be cleansed. The power of his voice. Listen, if he can speak the world into existence, he can tell leprosy where to go. He can deal with your sin. Because he paid for it. He became sin for you. So you can be forgiven, cleansed as white as snow. Forgiven, at peace with God. Immediately. Friend, on the authority of God's word, that can happen to you right now. Right now. Whatever city you live in, whatever your name is, because you are full of sin, you need to take a look at Jesus on the cross. You need to humble yourself. You need to say, Lord, I know you can do it. Are you willing? And you need to hear these words. Yes, I am willing. Be saved. Be cleansed. Be forgiven. Today is your day. Dear friend, do it. Right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope, the help, the compassion, the mercy and grace of God. Father, I can't help but believe that there's someone today, just someone, a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, that says, Lord, I know you can do it. Thank you for being willing to save a poor sinner like me. I want a new life today, today. In Jesus' name, amen.